Hello, and welcome back to the She's Plant-Based podcast. If you're new here, my name is Autumn. I'm a holistic health coach and passionate about all things health, wellness, well-being. Today, we are going to be talking about self-love and the five ways to cultivate self-love and how to build a better relationship with yourself. Oftentimes, it's the relationship that we neglect, and we fail to pour that same love that we put into our partner or our friendships or our relationships with our family and our parents and all that stuff. So oftentimes we put ourselves on the back burner. And so today's episode is really going to be talking about how to step into your power and how to give yourself the love that you desire and the love that you need. And so I'm super excited to get into the topic. But before each episode, I've been going over kind of just the highs and lows, what's been going on in my life recently. I just think that this is fun and helps me connect with you on a deeper level instead of just jumping right into topics. I'm sharing a little bit about my life and what's been going on, and hopefully maybe some of you can relate. But I would say a low is I went to the dentist yesterday, and I haven't been to the dentist in like a year and a half, and my teeth have been super sensitive, and I thought I was just going to have a ton of cavities. So I was really worried, but turns out I have receding gums, which basically just means my gums are wearing away and my teeth are more exposed. So the root of my teeth are more exposed. So it's made my teeth really sensitive, and it's painful, to be honest. Like, I can't even chew on the right side. And so now it's wearing down my teeth on the left side. Anyways, I'm not going to bore you with like all my teeth talk, but it's just not fun. And I also found out that I have some bone loss, nothing crazy. I'm not super shocked because my mom has the same thing. She has receding gums. And I remember she got a surgery when I was really young. But also my brother, I guess, my younger brother's been dealing with the same thing. And yeah, it's not fun. So if anyone here has any tips and advice for this, I've been doing a ton of research, trying not to get into my head. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna lose my teeth. But that's just so extreme. But it's something that is genetic, my dentist said, but it can also happen for a number of reasons. Teeth grinding, which I just found out that I am a teeth grinder. My dentist said that your teeth should not be touching at all, that they should only be touching when you're eating. I'm like, oh my God, my teeth touch all the time. Poor hygiene, etc. So I just really have to be on top of my oral care. I just bought an electric toothbrush, which I haven't had in a couple of years. I used to be a pretty bad flosser, I'm not gonna lie. And I think that's why I'm dealing with these issues. Alex is so good about flossing every single day. And so this has helped me because obviously we spend a lot of time together and he's motivated me to floss. So I've gotten in a better habit of doing that. Not a good habit for me to fall into in the past. Flossing is so important. I know that we all know this, but I definitely avoided it. My doctor said, though, I can get filler in these areas where the gum loss is, but that's going to cost $1,700. It's obviously pretty expensive and not really in my budget right now. So hopefully in a couple years, I can get that procedure. I honestly just need to get dental insurance and then I can see what they cover. Adulting. Honestly, being an entrepreneur and like dealing with insurance and not having health insurance. I now have health insurance, but all these little things that you just don't think about when you work at a job and if you have all of your medical stuff covered. It's tough out here, but obviously really grateful for what I get to do. I'm just learning a lot right now, and it can be exhausting, you know? It's not fun. So if anyone has any tips, if you're an entrepreneur and you work for yourself, dental insurance, please reach out to me. I need some help. No one teaches us these things. I've been on Reddit, been really just like deep diving on different things. So any insight is helpful. But on the bright side, a high is Alex and I are currently planning a month trip. We are still figuring out where we want to go. We're leaning towards Sayulita, Mexico. I've been before. It's incredible. The thing that I really like about Alex is he's not like a crazy traveler. And what I mean by that, like, it doesn't have to be this luxurious trip where we stay at a 5-star hotel and, you know, we get room service every day. Like, we are both the type of people who are like, well, I could stay in a hostel. I don't care. Like, I will travel like that. I think that's really fun. It's just part of the experience. Like, I just grew up camping. I didn't grow up going on really nice trips because my parents didn't have the money. And so, yeah, that's just how I prefer to travel. And I enjoy a place like Sayulita, Mexico. It's just a small town, surf town, kind of like hippy dippy almost. Yeah, just cool area. I've been before and had so much fun. So yeah, we're just trying to figure out how to make the trip as cheap as possible. So it's just taking some time to book stuff. There's a few Airbnbs that wouldn't even let us book for a month. So really trying to figure out all of it. But I'm super excited for this trip. I think that it's going to be really good for our relationship. Our life in LA can be hectic. He's been grinding hard and working on next steps at his job. He is such a hard worker, and I'm also in building and creating mode. So it's easy for us to not spend quality time with one another, especially during the week. Like, on the weekends, we're pretty good about it, but we're usually just like running around with one another, going to the gym, you know, like daily life things, which it's really nice to have someone you can do that with. But it'll be nice to slow down a bit, get away, and work in a remote area since both of us work from home and we really want to take advantage of this. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to everything falling together, and hopefully we'll be able to go on this trip in April. It's kind of what we're aiming for. So let's get into today's topic, self-love. So I'm gonna just jump right into number one. The first thing is to let go of judgment and criticism. We are too hard on ourselves. Why? Like, what is the goal here? I always ask my clients this. Whenever they are being mean to themselves, judging themselves, I ask them why. Like, what is the goal here? And I think that's a really interesting question to reflect on, because there isn't a goal. There isn't an answer. So why are we doing it? I think it's really easy to say, you know, just love yourself, accept yourself. But I think we need to go even deeper than that. Like, why do you have a hard time letting go of judgment and criticism? When I reflect on my life and go back to early stages of self-criticism, I think about when I was in elementary school. Behavior is learned. So who did I learn this from? My mom. This is not a jab at her. I just grew up with a mom who judged herself and was hard on herself. Even though she showered me with love and compliments, I thought it was okay to judge and criticize myself because that is what I saw. Understanding the root of self-judgment and criticism can be helpful. At a young age, I would call myself fat and gross and honestly just terrible names because that is what I saw my mom do. I mirrored her behavior. Throughout my life, I've realized negative self-talk did not get me far. It only made my situations worse. There is an idea around self-love that if you love yourself, you're full of yourself, vain, and self-absorbed. It does not mean you are a narcissist. Self-love is about having respect and love for yourself despite your flaws. It's about being more compassionate towards yourself rather than being mean or hard on yourself. How do we let go of judgment and criticism? Be an observer, not a reactor. This is why I love meditation. It teaches you how to be an observer. You look at yourself in a completely different lens. It's super easy to spiral and fall into this dark hole of hatred. Instead, when these negative thoughts, judgment, or criticism arise, observe them. Just notice that thought is coming up. It's important to find stillness during the chaos. When there is a problem, we think we have to do more. You cannot solve problems created by thinking with more thinking. Move your attention away from the mental noise. You are left with a clear view of reality. You are not clouded by your thoughts. So when judgment comes up, take a step back. Be the observer. You are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not always true. And you are so much more powerful than you think. You get to choose how you feel based on what thoughts you decide to feed. Boom. That's it. The second step is to change your self-talk. This starts with affirmations. I know it can feel silly for a lot of people. I think it's uncomfortable for many. Words hold meaning and power. We see how negative words affect us. Imagine if you use your words in a positive way. I really enjoy mirror work. Louise Hay talks about this a lot. But stand in front of a mirror and talk to yourself. Tell yourself three things you love about yourself and why. Release any judgment you have about the experience. Allow yourself to fully be part of this experience, even if it's weird and uncomfortable. Honestly, if you feel that way, that is a huge indicator that you need this. Learn how to be your own best friend. Practice positive self-talk. Speak to yourself as if you're speaking to your best friend. You can also write down affirmations each morning. You can listen to a recording of affirmations, whether that is self-recorded or an affirmation meditation on YouTube. I recommend listening to it right when you wake up or right before you go to bed. This is when your subconscious is most vulnerable and open, so this is a really good time to reprogram during this time. This has helped me so much on my journey. I'm a big fan of hacking my mind. So adopting empowering beliefs is super helpful. Limiting beliefs and negative self-talk literally hold us back and prevent us from becoming our best selves. It's natural and normal for self-talk to come up, so I don't want anyone to feel bad about it. You know, I still deal with negative self-talk, but I think that if this is something that is overpowering your life, you have to make some major shifts. You are in the driver's seat, not these negative thoughts that feel real. It's not actually you. You at your core are full of love. You have just lost that along the way due to experiences, conditioning, and so forth. So by practicing affirmations, you will help access your true self. You will get to know who you are at your core. You will begin to shed those limiting beliefs, shed those negative thoughts about yourself, and really like peel that onion and get down to that core self. And so it takes a little bit of time. Like, you're not going to notice these changes overnight. You will notice changes when you begin to practice these things. But over time, with consistency, you're going to be a completely different person. Like, I don't even recognize who I was 6 years ago when I was so mean to myself. So yeah, self-talk is so important. Number three, build self-trust. We break too many promises. Tomorrow I will eat better. Tomorrow I will wake up early. I'm done drinking, I'm never touching alcohol, I'm never getting back with him, then we never follow through. I'm guilty, so I get it. I've been there. And I still get into that mindset where I say something and then I don't follow through. But I think it's important to understand this at a deeper level, like, what is preventing you from fully trusting yourself? Is it due to your internalized negative beliefs and self-doubt? Is it because you've been taught from a young age to rely on external authority figures for guidance and validation? Many individuals have a hard time trusting themselves because there are internal barriers. Negative experiences and beliefs can lead us to doubt our own judgment and to question our worthiness, which makes it difficult to trust our own instincts and make decisions that align with our authentic selves. We have been taught to depend on our parents, teachers, religious leaders, societal norms and expectations. This external focus can lead individuals to become disconnected from their own inner guidance and intuition. Instead of trusting their own instincts and making decisions based on their own values and desires, they may seek approval and validation from others. Cultivating self-trust requires you to develop a deeper awareness of your own inner voice and cultivate a sense of confidence in your own abilities and judgment. Question external authorities and societal norms. Explore and embrace your own unique values and desires. Learn to tolerate uncertainty and the possibility of making mistakes, and develop a more positive and accepting relationship with yourself. This will help you build self-trust. Start small. Show yourself you can wake up a little bit earlier the next day, or you can drink enough water. Keeping those small little promises will take you far. It will build more confidence within yourself, and you'll begin to trust yourself. You are fully capable, so you just need to show yourself that you are. So when you meet those small little goals that you said you are going to meet, it's going to build confidence. So when you have to make bigger decisions or follow through with bigger things, you're going to be able to follow through because you trust yourself. Number 4, quality alone time. Many people are too busy and distracted with work, social media, parties, going out, and other activities, and we rarely take time to spend quality time with themselves. And many people rarely take time to spend quality alone time with themselves. As a result, they may become disconnected from their own inner wisdom and intuition, and struggle to find meaning and purpose in their lives. Quality alone time, on the other hand, allows individuals to take a step back from the noise and distractions of the world and tune into their own inner experience. This can involve engaging in activities that will bring them joy and fulfillment, such as reading, writing, meditating, or spending time in nature. Through these practices, individuals can gain a deeper understanding of their own values, desires, and motivations, and develop a greater sense of self-awareness and self-trust. They also may be better able to manage stress and anxiety and find a greater sense of peace and contentment in their daily lives. This space is a beautiful place to be in. For so long, I avoided alone time because the voice inside of me was mean and critical. What I realized is that alone time made room for my intuition to come through. Your intuition is soft and gentle. It is never mean or critical. That mean and critical voice, that was anxiety. That was my anxious mind. That was my monkey mind. You can learn so much about yourself in this space when you do begin to spend more quality alone time with yourself. So just know that this isn't a scary place to be in, that this is so necessary. And if you want to develop a trusting and loving relationship with yourself, spend some alone time with yourself because you're really going to learn so much about yourself. Disconnect from all of the noise, disconnect from social media, your phone, your computer, the television. Begin to spend more quality alone time with yourself. And the final tip is celebrate yourself. Celebrating yourself is an essential aspect of self-love because it involves recognizing and appreciating your own unique talents and qualities. Many people feel like they're not doing enough because society often places too much emphasis on external validation and the approval of others, leading them to neglect their own needs and desires. By celebrating yourself, however, you can break free from these external expectations and focus on your own inner fulfillment. Celebrating yourself can help you develop a sense of genuine self-esteem that comes from a deep and authentic appreciation of yourself. When you celebrate yourself, you affirm your own worth and value as a person, independent of anyone else's opinions or judgments. In essence, celebrating yourself reflects a commitment to self-love, which involves treating yourself with kindness, compassion, and respect. When you cultivate self-love, you acknowledge your own worthiness and deservingness, leading to greater happiness, confidence, and overall well-being. How can you begin to celebrate yourself? It does not need to be anything extravagant. It could be something as simple as taking a day off from work and doing something nice for yourself, such as taking a bath, getting your nails done, or going to a place in nature that really is a safe space for you. Practice giving back to yourself, as it is crucial. If you forget to do this, it will be easy to burn out. You deserve to celebrate yourself, whether this is solo celebration, it could be a celebration with family and friends or your partner, but begin to get into the habit of practicing self-love and self-celebration, because I find even with myself, when I accomplish something, when I've worked so hard towards something and it happens, I'm like, okay, now what? What is the next thing? And so celebrating yourself allows you to slow down a little bit and allows you to look at the small wins and the big wins and the great things that are happening in your life. So really get in the habit of doing this. I cannot stress that enough, because when you neglect this, you are never going to feel like you are doing enough. You are never going to feel like you are good enough, because you never take that time to slow down and pat yourself on the back. We expect others to do that for us, and you know, that's great. I think validation and approval from others is nice, but that starts with us, so we don't have to constantly seek that out from other people, that we know that we are worthy and deserving and capable and all of that stuff, and we don't need someone else to tell us that. Like, it starts with us. And so the more that you are able to be that person for yourself, you are going to have such a different relationship with yourself. That's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed this topic and this conversation. If you enjoy this episode, please share your feedback, DM me, take a screenshot, repost it on your story, share this episode with a friend. Your feedback is so important, and I love hearing from you, and it really helps me out as a creator when you are sharing my podcast and sharing my episodes. So thank you so much for tuning in and listening and being a part of this conversation, and I will talk to you next Tuesday.